Love the old, old story. Appreciate that. Very good song. It is good to have Brother Downs with us, and I won't call him Dr. Downs. We'll go past that one, but met him way back in school. Just have been faithful to the Lord, very much in service and for the Lord. And appreciate him very much. Brother Downs, would you come on and show his presentation and preach for us tonight?
Oh, yes. You're all powered up here, and I see the clock. Before we get started, my eyes are a little bit blurry right now. Okay. This is just a little presentation from my wife and myself, and to you, to the church, just a little token of appreciation, something made in Ethiopia, just to say thank you, and thank you to the church for your support, for your prayers, and for your faithfulness. And holding the ropes while we are in Ethiopia. So, thank you very much. Thank you. Yeah. Well, you can show everyone if you like. I'll forget it otherwise.
Looks like a disc on a plow. You know what I'm talking
about? We'll pass it around while he's preaching.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. And if my wife, Coletta, if you would please stand. And James, maybe he'll let everyone look at him. Okay. That's my lovely wife.
Amen.
The Lord has blessed me with to go together into the ministry of Ethiopia. when we first arrived into, I arrived single, but was later married. When I first arrived in Ethiopia, I was met by various missionaries at various times. When I went there for my survey trip, I was met there by a missionary, and after a while, he sat down, he talked to me, and I just kind of said, you know, somewhat candidly, but, you know, just, you know, I think it even came from his heart. He said, you know, I don't think you can start an independent Baptist church here in Ethiopia. Mm. That's what he said. And he was serious. He has been encouraged since then over what's been going on in a little corner there, there in Addis Ababa. But when I went there to start, I was told by a missionary again, you have to leave that Baptist stuff in America. Hmm. Yeah. And then I was told again that you can't do it here in Ethiopia. Now, I was told by one missionary that it's like plowing through granite. Well, anything done in granite isn't moving, by the way. Okay. So, you know, we cannot do it. We cannot do it. It is God that does it. And I liken the ministry there in Ethiopia to Ezekiel 37. How that Ezekiel was placed by the Spirit in the valley of dead bones. And then he's told to look around, and those bones are very dry. And I guarantee you, everyone let me know how dry those Ethiopians' bones were. I mean, they reminded me just how dry. You know, they're not thankful. They're so dry. They have social issues. They're so dry. It can be dangerous out here. They're so dry. Look around you. They're so dry. And then they made sure that I knew how dry those dead bones were in the valley of whatever you want to call it. Okay. And so therefore, realizing that, Ezekiel, seeing the dry bones, put it in God's hand. Can these bones live? Thou knowest. And the Lord knows. If he puts you in the valley of those dead bones, he has a reason why he did that. And Ezekiel didn't quite understand. And listen, when I was called to Ethiopia, I wasn't broken and teary out over the faces and over the hunger and over the people falling down to be saved and everything. No example of ministries being opened up and everything and people getting saved. What brought me to Ethiopia is what's keeping me there, and that is that God called me to Ethiopia. And so Ezekiel was told to prophesy unto those dead bones, and those and the prophecy was, and breath shall enter into you, and ye shall live. And that's the message that any of us have to anyone who is in darkness. And that is, ye shall live. When you hear the word of God, those who have ears to hear, live. And we are seeing Ethiopia. Listen, we have the word of God, by the way. Alright? It isn't just God breathed, you know, some time ago. It is breathing now. It isn't just breathing now. It causes breath to enter into anyone that hears. And so that's the promise that we have to carry with us, is that we have the very word of God in our hands, in our heart. It's just as inspired as it ever was. And this is our hope. And not us, but God's word. And so God's word is causing some things to come together. I was told also, by the way, that I couldn't get a permit to stay in the country. And I tried at first and couldn't get one. I just stayed in the country by through a visa process. But then the Lord kind of moved us to do some work to stay in the country. It worked out better for us to do some teaching work to stay in the country the last 2 years. And then that got kind of monotonous. And then I really got to praying one weekend. And I said, Lord, I know that I was told I couldn't do this. I tried to do this to get a permit to stay in the country. And you have to help me, because I want to do this full time. I'm not a teacher. Some missionaries must do that. That's fine. We know that. But maybe you have something different for me. And I begged them. I went back to the officials, and I told them my need. And they said, well, we just had a meeting about that this week, as a matter of fact. And I said, oh, we did. This was last July. And he said, we had a program that we had just started, but we stopped it to kind of evaluate things. And if you come back in a couple of weeks, we would have had our meeting again, another meeting, and we let you know what you can do. And so I came back in a couple of weeks. Now, see, I was told that if I'm not part of a international organization or a mission board or some kind of an international church, then I cannot be a country representative of anything in the country. And so I came back, and the official said, now, what you need to get is your organization's registration and bylaws. You operate according to your organization's bylaws, and then you need your attorney, a power of attorney, to operate as a country representative of your organization. And I said, now, wait a minute, we're not a mission board. And he says, that's okay. He says, we're not an international church. He said, that's okay. We're not a charitable organization. He said, that's okay. And I told him that we're just an independent Baptist church, a local church. And he says, that's okay. You're going to be the first missionary that does this. This is totally new. So, it's still in the waiting. This is Ethiopia, okay? So, be praying. Whatever happens, we know that God is in control. And so, Ethiopia, you're going to hear more about Ethiopia. And, you know, it's very religious, very, very steeped in mysticism and darkness. And Judaism even, they worship the Ark of the Covenant, they think it's there. And Islam is growing quickly, so the door's opening up. Many adversaries, there's a shaking. I almost been stoned one time. They wanted to beat my wife with a shovel one time. I've been threatened two or three times in my life. Been chopped, karate chopped in the neck one time. That's the first persecution, right? be praying for us, that it's not a safe country in many ways, but yet in many ways it's quite more open, more than many countries. So we're going to go ahead and show that DVD, I'll just kind of stand aside someplace and talk. You can all see. Down family in Ethiopia, and been there 5 years now. And Ethiopia is located in Africa, in the Horn of Africa. Oh, yeah, it has Somalia on the east side, West Sudan, South Kenya, and then Egypt. It used to be part of Ethiopia there on the north. And it's a country that's 1.5 times the size of Texas. It's a very large country, the third most populous country in Africa, over 82 million people there. It's very varied in climate because of the altitudes there. Down the valley, there's coffee grown. It's the number one exporter of coffee in Africa, maybe in the world. There's many animals that are endemic to Ethiopia. That is, they're only in Ethiopia. Wild animals. I don't have their pictures, by the way. The cattle. There's more cattle per capita in Ethiopia than in any other country in Africa. Most of the people are living in the country, 80%. And they're farmed the same way they farmed 100 years ago. This boy is not carrying an MK-47. It's an umbrella, in case you're wondering. I get that question all the time. Teff is growing there in the country. It's their staple crop. And you have lots of interesting houses in the country. They're mainly made of cow dung and mud and lots of grass. You have beehive-type houses. You have concrete as well. You have 80 different ethnic groups in Ethiopia. Those were Somali people. And you have a very poor class system, very poor class, middle class. But most of your Ethiopians are just poor. $40 a week is the average income. Half the people are under the age of 18 almost. And it's a very young country, opening up in many ways. Very impressionable. In the city, you have a lot of young people, college goers, and young business folks. From old to young, the doors are opening in Ethiopia there. And now in the city of Addis Ababa, it's a city of 7 million people. I just read 3 million. It just depends on what you're reading. We've been up and down these streets many times, passed out thousands of tracks. Up and down these shops and up and down the roads and sidewalks and answering hundreds of calls. We've seen just under 100 people make professions of faith, about 30 baptized. We have about 20 that will come. God is working. 60% Ethiopian Orthodox Church, Coptic, very religious. Then 35% Muslim, almost 40% Muslim now. And then all the people are steeped in spirit worship, demon worship, and all kinds of other things. And so we are there in Ethiopia, your family, representatives to Ethiopia, a small portion of our group there, and they should be singing right now, should be sound. They're singing their favorite song. And if I can have that sound just come up a little bit. Okay. It's their favorite song. The goal is to do in Ethiopia what has been done in Jerusalem, Judea, and the uttermost part of the world, without compromise. They can have either their own songs or translated songs that touch the spirit and not move the hips. Okay? It's possible. It's what builds a church. And that they are taught the gospel. They are baptized upon profession without delay. We allow Jesus Christ to make the decision of who is saved and who is not saved. We preach the gospel, and they are separated by the word of God. And they're taught in their own language. The language is Amharic. Amharic is the national language. Amharic is like Hebrew. Very Semitic. It's the fourth hardest language in the world. And there are 80 different dialects besides Amharic, by the way. And so they are learning. And you see the bones coming together. You see the folks coming together. Breath is entering into them in many ways. And some school children here, they come with many issues. They come with terrible issues at times and distractions. So often it's not easy to keep them faithful. But nevertheless, we do have a remnant of folks that we are building a foundation for a good, strong, and solid church. And from there, we hope to plant other churches as the Lord allows us. And we are out doing some witnessing there. Bly in the middle there had come, made a profession at one time, but he still has many questions as he's studying to be a priest. But there are many more like him who wants to know the truth. Brooke called one day. He says he's a businessman. He has money, but he doesn't have peace. But he has peace in Jesus Christ by the end of that week. But there are many like him who are seeking. And a street boy, was saved. But there are many more like him that must be saved and know the Lord as a personal Savior. Some college students that we've reached over time, much more that must be reached. And even though young people are easier to reach, it's not easy. These are lost. They're without Christ. They're blinded. And only God can lift those blinders. Only His Word can. This man is blinded physically, but most of Ethiopia is blinded spiritually. And most of Ethiopia, though some may be starving, most of Ethiopia is starving spiritually and will die without Christ and go to hell if someone doesn't give them the gospel. But Fakaru will give you his testimony right now. He's leading our ministry while we're gone. Been saved 4 years.
It's difficult because different churches for Ethiopia. It's Muslim, Orthodox, Jehovah, it's that one. But I would some asking questions, some go to another church. That is very difficult because it's not the right way. You can't give that way to Jesus Christ. Because there is the old testimony, the old things. You believe something for without a Bible. The Bible, without the Bible, another books you're reading like that. That is for me very difficult. But now, this church is when I come, it's the right way. And I believe only when Jesus, I get the Lord life.
Did you hear that? He believes only on Jesus Christ. He has everlasting life. Okay, Amharic means Amharic. For those of you who are trying to learn Amharic, anybody here trying to try, anybody? They get the same response wherever I go. So, all right. So, as we proceed forward, pray for us. Maybe one or two questions. Anyone have any questions before I go on? Anybody here? You have any questions? Anyone? Yes, there's food in the airplane. I'll take care of that right now. Anybody else? Okay, yes. We live in a country. It just seems to naturally work that way. I was in language school. Folks got saved by us in language school. They went in a Bible study, and that's where we started. Yes. Anybody else? All right. Yes. Excuse me? Roughly about 20. About 20. And it goes up and down. Sometimes way down. Sometimes it's a great day. Yes. Yes. We have a separate place now that we meet. So we pay for two places. Yes. Trinity Baptist Church of Arlington, Texas. Yes. Sorry, I sort of made that more plain. And anyone else? That's a good question. Thank you very much. Anyone else? Anyone else? Okay. All right. We won't be much longer. Please turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. And most of our text will be out of Matthew chapter 5, but we begin in Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4, see the beginning of the ministry of Jesus Christ there in Matthew chapter 4. And as soon as I find it, we'll get started. And not using that. Most people are taller than me. So I have to bring this down. I'm cross-eyed trying to look at you. All right. You're laughing enough. You don't need anything else. Now, please stand for the scripture, reading of the scripture. And we'll start from verse 23 of Matthew 4, verse 23. And we begin reading verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, from Decapolis, from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. In chapter 5 and verse 1, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Let's have a word of prayer. The Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord God, for this wonderful church. Father, we pray that you would please, Lord God, bless this short message. Father, may it go out, accomplish what it sets out to do, and not return void, which is your word, and working in our hearts. We thank you so much, Lord God, for all that you've done and all that you will do. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much. You may be seated. Thank you for standing for the reading of the scripture. Here, Jesus is beginning his public ministry. Now, he's begun it, but now he's going full thrust. And he's come on the scene, and the Bible says he's preaching the kingdom of God. By the way, that's the main thing. The main thing is the word of God being preached, and it isn't just the word of God being preached, but it is the demonstration of power, not just word. That is, spending time with the Lord and having God's hand upon our lives, not just the preacher's lives, but yours, as God uses you to tell the kingdom of God to anyone who would like to hear, or anyone who needs to hear, and that's all of us, and anyone. And so Jesus preaches the kingdom of God. He goes out and he heals all manner of sickness, all manner of disease. Those who are blind that goes to him, go away seeing. Those who cannot walk and go to Him, are carried to Him, and they go away walking and leaping for joy. Now those that are lunatic, they go away in their right minds. And those that are possessed with devils, and they are loose from their bondage, and whatever disease or infirmity that are there, Jesus takes care of all those things. We know that these are an illustration of what He came to do spiritually. He makes the application more than a few times in the New Testament, saying that, hey, if you say you have no sin, you're blind. Okay. If you say you have sin, then you can see. Okay. And he's come to take upon Himself our infirmities, that is, our sin diseases, and our punishment. So as He is doing all these things, there is great expectation there. In all that region, His fame has gone out. The atmosphere is charged, and everyone is in great expectation. Is this John the Baptist risen up again? Is this that prophet that Moses talked about? Is this Elijah? Who is he? And some will even ask, is this the Messiah? There was probably only a remnant of people that really understood why He came. But He had come to take upon Himself our sins and the penalty of sin, to take our transgressions upon Himself. Only a few really understood that, like John did, or like Mary Magdalene did. And only a few really understood that. And so, but most people understood it in different ways. One thing that was certain, most of them wanted to make Him king now. Most of them wanted the kingdom to be restored now. And they were wondering, will He give us this power? Will He liberate us from the Roman tyranny? Will He fulfill all the prophecies now? And will God rain down these things on the earth now? And I didn't quite understand it. Yes, is the answer, but not the way that they were expecting it. Yeah. Same way today. Many come to Jesus Christ, come to church with different expectations. And those that understand those things, often want to gender or try to attract those things, buy those things. Some come because they want something right now, and they want control over their lives now. You hear about these empowerment ministries. Something good is going to happen to you today. If you turn to anything on TV, that's the primary message. Something, you are somebody. Yeah. I remember that Jesse Jackson preached that one time. You are somebody. And that's the message. And the music fits the message of these empowerment churches. And I mean, something snap you down the aisle, and something jiggle you down the aisle, and put you in the seats. And as long as the music is going, the Holy Spirit, their spirit can move. Yeah. But the true spirit doesn't require any of those things. And so, we are Christians that want something now. We are Christians that want to work and have something to answer for later on. You want something for our children. But yet, it seems as though that we are losing the battle in many ways. And so Jesus sees the multitude, and He begins to teach what is probably His greatest sermon, well, His most remembered sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. And I don't have time to go through that, about that, but I believe it begins with an introduction. The introduction is called what we call the Beatitudes. And the Beatitudes I'm going to cut in half. And I'm going to talk about some blessings that come only by weakness. And He sets them down, and in verse 3, Jesus begins to teach. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, wait a minute. He lost most of His folks already. Blessed are the who? Wait a minute. I want to be a part of the kingdom, but I don't want to be poor. I didn't mention. I know it's all spiritual and everything, but you know, and you know, if I'm spiritual, I'm gonna have money in my pocket, right? That's the preaching. What one missionary said to the Ethiopians: it is easier to praise God when something jingles in your pocket. Now, listen, true religion is when you can praise God when nothing is jingling in your pocket and the gospel is ringing out of your heart. That's true religion. So, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What is the kingdom of heaven? Jesus says, it's neither here or there, but it's nigh even unto your heart. He was talking to Pharisees. The kingdom of heaven is knowing God. Or the kingdom of heaven for those who reject God is judgment. And the Bible says that heaven is God's throne. And the earth is his footstool. The heavens cannot even contain God. The kingdom of heaven is salvation for those that believe. Until we realize that all of our works and all of our righteousness cannot save us. It cannot redeem us. We cannot pay our way into heaven until we realize that all of our sins are as filthy rags. We cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. And we are lost, altogether lost, and undone, poor, without any hope, unless we turn to Jesus Christ. Why? Because there are some blessings that only come by, being weak. You must realize, we must be poor in our own sight before we can have eternal life. Listen, I tried my best to work my way into heaven for many, many years, since I was 12 years old. I was so afraid of death. But one day someone showed me how that I could have a home in heaven through Jesus Christ, and I realized that all my goodness and all my righteousness could not save me. And that poor sinner that day got saved, because I was poor. Why? Because blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. King David said, I am poor and needy. He cried for help. King David was the king of Israel, had all the money he can have, but yet he was poor. Poor and needy. If we realize how poor and needy we are, we can come to the throne of grace to find help in time of need. He has come for the poor in heart. The Bible says he saves all those who are poor. He teaches the poor. See, are you poor? I hope so. That's who God came for. That's who the kingdom of God will open up, answered prayers, power, things happening in our lives. Why? Because there are some blessings that come only by weakness. Then he says, blessed are those that mourn. Are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now, wait, that's another thing. I want to be happy. That's the message today. How to be happy. That's the main message. It went from humanistic circles right into our churches and pulpits. How to have a happy life. If you seek to find your life, you shall lose it. If you lose your life for his sake, you shall find it. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. 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 Jesus says, he must go. He must go. For if he does not go, he cannot send who? The Comforter. Who's that? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not work unless we have a mournful heart. A broken and contrite spirit. A broken heart and a contrite spirit. That's what he wants. That's what he blesses. It is the Comforter that says, comfort ye. Comfort ye all ye my people. Whenever I was 12, I'd be so afraid of dying and going to hell. I'd have nightmares and going into a dark place. And I seek ways of getting into heaven. And I had my own theology and everything. Until one day, going home from high school, there was a young man named Eddie Bell. Back in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, walking home from high school, Eddie Bell was in my AP chemistry class, and he began to pray. But I didn't know that he began to pray and fast for me 3 days. I thank God for someone who cared for my soul to pray and fast for me for 3 days. I wish I had an ounce of that kind of religion. How many of you are teenagers? I see a bunch over there. You're a teenager? Raise your hand. Good. Okay, anybody else? God can use you. It doesn't matter what age you are. Rather than not, you're 6, 16, or 106. Okay? If you didn't have to raise your hand if you're 106, you probably couldn't do that right now. Okay? God can use you. And outside my high school, he's going to show me how that I can have a home in heaven through Jesus Christ. And as you begin to turn those pages in that little New Testament, it was the comforter that saw my broken heart. The comforter was turning those pages. The Holy Spirit was showing me the cross. It was the Holy Spirit that was revealing to me how that Jesus Christ came and died for my sins, rose again for my justification, and now I can have eternal life. And right there, I put my trust in Jesus Christ, and now I have eternal life. So that now, whenever Satan puts up the picture of fire and hell, and puts my sins across the screen, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, says, "Don't worry about that. It's okay, James. You see, you're hidden in Jesus Christ. All your sins are covered by His blood. It's all taken care of. Don't you remember what you did a long time ago? It's all done. It's all about Jesus." And the Comforter comforts me day by day in light of judgment. Why? Because blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. The churches were not built on snappy, happy music and snappy, happy messages and snappy, happy everything. It was built on tears. And when they started the services with people at the altar on Wednesday night, weeping and crying for souls, and ending in like manner. It was the tears that sent out missionaries, the tears that sent out preachers and evangelists, the tears that closed down bars and pubs, the tears that brought revival. That's what did it. Why? Blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. The Comforter answered Eddie Bell's prayer that prayed for me, and the Comforter would answer my prayer if I could just have a little bit more of a broken heart for souls and for God's things. Now, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The Word of God says, the meek shall inherit the earth. The meek shall inherit the earth. Until, first of all, we realize that we cannot run from God, we cannot outsmart God, we cannot outdo God, we cannot be saved. You cannot escape His wrath. No matter where you are, His wrath will reach you one day. Whether or not you're in the lowest hell or in the highest heaven. You cannot escape God. Whether or not you're here across seas. That's what being meek is all about. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, God hath ordained strength. The reason why we don't praise God today, like we should, is because we are too proud. Jesus Christ said, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you," he says. And I will give you rest. I am meek and lowly, he said. Meek and lowly of heart, he said. Can we say that? Can we say, "Sinner, come to Jesus Christ. Come to me, and I'll show you salvation. I am meek. I'm lowly. You can come to me. My door is open. I have no prerequisites for you coming to me or me coming to you." Can you say that? Is there anybody who's been marked off your list lately? Can you say, "I am meek and lowly. Please come. Everyone, please come." Then he says, from the last point, I must hurry, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Now, when I was a boy, I was hungry a lot. I wasn't poor, but I was hungry. I was a teenager at one time. How many of you, you're teenagers, right? You're hungry right now. I know. I mean, you're hungry. I know. Anyway, okay? I just said, my mother would be cooking right now. Not now, but then. And I sit on the porch, and I look at the cookbook, just for the pictures. And I'll turn the pages, and I pretend I was eating those pictures. Pot roast. And I'd be eating that pot roast, and chicken, and fried. It's the best fried. It always looks so good in those pictures. Golden color. And I'd be eating. I'd be so hungry. And I'd turn to the triple-decker chocolate cake, and I'd be eating that. I was hungry. I had it on my mind all the time. That's how the Word of God ought to be. That we're hungry. Now, when it's time to eat, I mean to eat. It's a real thing. But we have the real thing here. Yes, one day Christ will come back. But until then, I kiss this Bible. I hug it. I read it. I am so hungry. I want more. There was a black boy, saved back in the 1800s, Samuel Morris. Samuel Morris was saved back in 1835, 1837, and in Africa. He was so excited. He wanted to learn so much more when he got saved. The missionaries couldn't teach him anymore. He begged every night to learn more from God. And so they sent him to America on a ship that treated him really bad on a ship. Really, really bad. And he got a job down in the captain's cabin. And there, as he was sleeping, he would sing hymns like we sing right now. He would sing those hymns. And as he sung those hymns and was sweeping the captain's cabin, his deck, the captain got up and walked over to him and with one hit, knocked him to the ground. One hit. And Samuel Morris laid there on the ground for hours. And as he began to come to, the captain got up and got ready for a fight. And Samuel Morris got up and he picked up his broom and began to sweep and sing as though nothing happened. He just sang and swept. And that captain was moved and taken by this sight. He went, sat down, called Samuel Morris over, and Samuel Morris led him to the Lord. Samuel Morris led every person on that ship to the Lord, except for one. They're weeping and sobbing when he left. Why? Because someone was hungry. Reverend Merritt saw something in Samuel Morris, that boy, a teenager, wanted to take him under his wing and teach him. And Samuel Morris got down in his face one day in the carriage and said, Lord, he shows me the houses, he shows me the city, but he doesn't show me the Holy Spirit. And that broke that man, that reverend's heart. And he began to transform his ministry. Every once in a while, Samuel Morris would testify of his salvation and would break people's hearts. And thousands more got saved because of a hungry boy. And he wanted to go to college. He didn't have any money. He raised money. They raised money for him. That money is still sending people to college today. After he died at the age of 21, he didn't make it back to Africa to be a missionary, but 600 missionaries surrendered their lives to go to Africa after he died. Why? Someone was hungry. Never had enough. Always wanting more. Hungry. Just not quite themselves. Oh, when I'm hungry, I'm not quite myself. Oh, sometimes I'm grumpy. Sometimes I'm mournful. I'm just, because I want to be more like what God wants for me. I want to see more people saved. But I'm not what I want to be, what I think I ought to be. But you know what? I'm not what I'm going to be. I'm going to be better. I'm going to press on for that mark. How about you? Are you meek? Are you poor in your own sight? Have you wept for anything spiritual lately? God knows. Let's all stand, and my time is up. I'm going to turn this back over to the pastor. But if God has spoken to your heart, please come. Ethiopia is not an easy pill to swallow. But whatever God wants me to do, I must do. I want that full crown. I covet those things. How about you? How about you? Let's all bow our heads, and let's all pray. Dear Father, I thank you, Lord God, for your goodness, Father. I thank you, Lord God, for giving us a Savior that we can tell the world about, for using this unworthy vessel in some way, Father. Thank you so much. I pray that those that heard in a special way, Father, would make a decision for you to just simply decide to be more hungry for you. And to whatever you've spoken to them about, may they make a decision tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name.